Today on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires.
I want God's will to be done. I want to flee the land of death, and I want to do God's things, God's ways. But at the same time, that's hard. The people of Israel experienced it when they left Egypt. They didn't get very long, and they begin yearning once again for those things of Egypt that brought them comfort and peace. And what God is saying is Jesus took on himself the cup of our suffering. Now that we have been made free because someone has died, this is no longer our home.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. We serve a loving and forgiving God, and whether it's the children of Israel being led out of Egypt or the New Testament believer today, God stands ready and willing to deliver his people from the consequences of disobedience so long as we accept redemption on his terms. In a study of the book of Exodus, Pastor Greg turns to the first Passover to demonstrate how the high cost of freedom has been paid on our behalf and is a free gift to those simply willing to receive it. It's a message titled, "You Are Free Because Someone Died." And here's Pastor Greg.
Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you." Verse 24, "You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'Well, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but he spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and they worshiped." The people of Israel went and they did as Moses. Exodus chapter 12, "You are free because someone died." You are free because someone died. You might imagine it this way. Maybe you've seen some of these videos on the interwebs or the internets. Somebody gets a heart transplant. They're on the heart transplant list. They get a heart transplant. I don't know if you've seen these videos where the family of the person who made the donation of the heart has the opportunity to come and, using a stethoscope, listen to the heart of their loved one that was donated. Have you seen these? They're fantastic to watch. So somebody loses a child or a spouse in a tragic way, but having the foresight to be on the donor list, their heart is then donated to someone who needs it, and now their heart of their loved one is still beating in another person. That person might say, in a very literal way, "I live because someone died." And what we discover in Exodus is this is a theme for the people of Israel, but frankly, it's the theme of the Bible. We are free because someone died. People of Israel are still servants and slaves in the land of Egypt. 9 or 10 plagues have already happened. Now we're down to the final plague, the Passover plague, or the plague of the death angel, as you might call it. And what is intended to be communicated to the people of Israel is that you are going to be free, but you're not just being made free. You are being free because someone has died. Interesting, back in the 80s and 90s, there was a significant upheaval because of the drug trade out of South America to the United States. And as a result, down in Central America, drug cartels had massive amounts of power and control in these areas. And what they would do is they would kidnap people who were sort of anti-drug trade. They would kidnap them and take them to their outposts, which were often out in the middle of the jungle. And the whole idea of kidnapping these journalists and advertisers and political figures was to send the message, don't oppose the drug cartels because you'll be kidnapped. And they would also ransom them off as a way of making money. And where they would keep them is in these fortresses or these compounds deep in the jungle. And it was great security. They said, if you run away, we're not going to chase you because the jungle will kill you. There's no way to get out of this jungle because the people wouldn't know where they were. And so what would happen is the military would go in and they would seek to free the hostages, but as you might expect, the drug cartels, as soon as they saw the military, they'd go and just slaughter all the hostages. They'd just kill them all. So the only way to get the hostages out is if they would run out into the jungle. But the hostages, of course, are too scared to run out into the jungle and they couldn't get the message to them. The military is just 200 or 300 yards away. You can't see them. But if you'll run out into the jungle, the military will be there and take you to safety. But no, of course, nobody would go. Why? Because they'll die in the jungle. They don't know they're out there. How do we get the message to the hostages to run out in the jungle? It's a hard message. So they came up with a novel plan. They wrote a song that was played on popular radio, and the drug cartels would play the radio because that's the only entertainment you have out in the middle of the jungle. And so they wrote a song that became very popular, and embedded in one chorus of the song was a drum beat that was Morse code. And this is what the message said in Morse code. 19 people rescued, you're next, don't lose hope. And that's all it said. And hundreds of people heard that message and fled into the jungle and were rescued. I mean, it's unbelievable. Most of the people who were captured and hostages were military type folks, so they heard it. So here's the thing. You are free because someone died, and the message of the Passover and the message of redemption is you need to survive in the land of death. The people of Israel find themselves in the land of death, Egypt. Why is Egypt the land of death, the land under the curse of God? Because they had rejected God. Moses had brought them peace with God. They rejected it. And so now the Bible says the angel is going to come and kill the firstborn in each home, and your job, here's the message, survive the land of death and flee into the wilderness. And so the story is very simple. He says, on the night of the Passover, you're going to kill a lamb, and you're going to eat a lamb, and you're going to smear the blood on the doorposts. Now, this is the first 20 verses of Exodus 12, and there's a lot of things that they were supposed to do. In fact, first of all, they were supposed to get the lamb on, not on the night of the Passover, but 4 days earlier. So Passover is on the 14th of the month, and they're to select the lamb on the 10th of the month, keep the lamb for 4 days, and on the 14th at twilight, slaughter the lamb, drain its blood into a basin, which they would have all been used to doing. Then you're to prepare the lamb to eat. And the only way you're to prepare the lamb is to roast it. You're to roast it over the fire. And the reason for this is the fastest way of cooking. He says you're not to boil it. You're not to make a stew. You're not to eat it raw. You're to roast it over the fire with bitter herbs. And you're going to eat the whole thing. And before too long, in fact, right away, put blood on the doorposts. And while you're eating, put your coat on, put your shoes on, be ready to go. Stand up at the table with your belt tied in, ready to go, your shoes on, eating as fast as you can. Anything you don't finish, you're going to burn up. You're not going to take with you. The only thing you're going to take with you is bread with no yeast in it. What he's saying to them is, you're going to leave, and you're going to need to leave in a hurry. Everything about the Passover is intended to communicate to them, be ready to go and make great haste. You are free because someone died. Who died? In this case, their lamb that they slaughtered. So what you must do is survive the land of death and make haste and leave. What they need to understand by slaughtering this lamb is this. The land of Egypt is under judgment. And to escape that judgment, somebody must die in my place. In this case, a lamb will do. So slaughtering a lamb is a way of saying out loud, because I'm in Egypt and Egypt is a land under judgment, it should be my blood on the doorpost. But God, by his mercy, has determined I don't have to put my blood on the doorpost. I can put a lamb's blood on the doorpost instead of mine. And so Passover is intended to be an act that both generates in Israel a feeling of faith and fear. Faith that says, I can trust God who has provided for a way for me to escape the land of death. Fear, why? Wait, God kills sinners? He's not messing around? He really does put Egypt under judgment because they have rejected him? And the answer is what? Well, yes. Now, the means of escape brings faith. God will indeed judge those who have rejected him, but he does, in fact, provide the means of redemption. And in this case, he says, put blood on the doorpost. He says, you're free because someone died. You must survive the land of death by faith, applying blood to the doorpost. I guess in many ways you could say this. You can put whoever's blood you want on the doorpost. You can put your own. It makes it hard to leave Egypt if you're dead. Or you can put someone else's. You can put the lamb's blood on the doorpost. Here's what's interesting. You can fall down to verse 19 of Exodus 12. They're going to establish over time, especially when they get into the wilderness and into the promised land, they would observe the Passover every year. And this is what he says about that festival. You're going to celebrate it for 7 days. No yeast is to be in your house, as anyone who eats yeast gets in big trouble. And all these things apply to whether he is a sojourner or a native in the land. What did he just say? What matters? Is it whether or not you're Jewish? No. What matters? Did you put blood on the doorpost? The Bible is not terribly clear on this. If an Egyptian put blood on his doorpost, would he be spared? It's quite clear they would be. It's not if you're Jewish and you're obedient, you get saved. It's if you trust God to allow someone else to stand for you, you will be redeemed out of the land of judgment. In fact, look down at verse 38 of Exodus 12, if you're turned there. It says this, a mixed multitude went up with them, with very much livestock and flocks and herds. A mixed multitude. What does that mean? A whole bunch of people. Now, Egypt was full of Egyptians, obviously had people of Israel, had Cushites, had people from northern Africa, had people from what we call the Arabian Peninsula, because it was a center of economic activity. And so you got people who aren't Egyptian, and maybe many Egyptians, and you got, again, hang out in Egypt. How's that look? Not a whole lot left at this point. Or we can hang out with the people who have the power and hand of God. And a whole bunch of people, a mixed multitude says, we're going to be with the people of God. So what matters here is not their national heritage. What matters is, does God redeem when he sees the blood? And when he sees the blood, what is the answer? Yes, he says, I will pass over you because another has died for you. The only way to survive the land of death is to trust that you can be free because someone else died. The trick is we have to have ears to hear that message, like those captors down in Central America where that song plays and it says, don't worry, have hope. But we have to have the ability to hear it. We have to have the ability to hear the message that says, go, escape the land of death by following God's ways. There's no life in this place. And as you know, many Egyptians didn't do that. As we're going to read in the next section, there was not a home in Egypt that did not have someone who hadn't died. Down a little bit further, we're reminded that during the Passover, they're supposed to make sure as they're eating the lamb, not to break any of the bones. It's a little bit down further in Exodus 12. They say, don't make sure not to break any of the bones. That's a very strange command. Number one, why would they normally? I don't know. Maybe to get after some of the really good meat. Maybe to get at the marrow. But what he says is don't break any bones. And he said, that's a little bit of a random command, but as time goes on, we're going to discover it wasn't a passing comment. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 34 tells us this in regard to his man. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. He keeps all of his bones, that is his righteous one, all of his bones, and none of them will be broken. And John 19:36 makes it quite clear. The apostle John was convinced that when Jesus was on the cross and the Roman guards went to break his legs, what happened? Because what they would do is, they would crucify people, and then they'd realize they had a party to get to, and the people weren't dying fast enough. And so the Romans would break their legs, and the people hanging on the cross couldn't hold themselves up, and they would drown in their own lungs. And so they went to Jesus to break his legs, and what did they discover? He was already dead. Why? Because Jesus decides when he's going to die. The Romans don't. So he had already died, and so they went and they were going to break it. Oh, he's already dead. Well, let's make sure. So they stick him with a spear. And what happens is they don't break any of his bones. And John says, this is in order to fulfill the prophecy of Psalms. And why was Psalms written? Because Jesus is the Passover lamb. Because Jesus' blood can stand in our place. We get two options in the land of judgment. We can stand in our own and say, oh, you can use my blood, I'll pay for it. Or Jesus says, you can use my blood because I am the ultimate Passover lamb. And this is the song that's been playing ever since in the camp that we find ourselves in, this world. The gospel, Jesus comes and saves sinners. And there's a code in there. It's not a very complicated code. It just says, if you've disobeyed God, then you need forgiveness. And then you might ask the question, well, how do I know if I've disobeyed God? I'll show you. It's a very spiritual and religious way you can determine that. Take these two fingers and put them here. And if there's a heartbeat, you're a sinner. And you need to be forgiven. Here's the thing. Most say, no, I don't. Most say, okay, yeah, I mean, I blew it a couple of times, but I don't do anything that requires a guy to die on a cross. It seems a little bit excessive. You're missing the music. You're hearing a song, but you've missed the message. Because what he says, if you will come to the point where you can say, you know what? No, God has no reason to have a relationship with me. I'm lost. He says, okay, good. The blood can stand for you. You can, instead of paying on your own behalf, you can have him stand in for you. But you have to hear it. You have to believe it. You have to trust it. You are free because someone died. Job is to survive the land of death. The only way to do that is to say, I don't want to pay with my blood. I want somebody else to pay. For Israel, that was the Passover lamb. And that was merely a way of God starting to set, beginning in some ways to set the stage to say, you're going to need a better lamb. But we can set the tone right now. Someone can and will stand in for you. Will you hear the message of hope and apply the blood of Christ to your own heart? You are free because someone died. Second thing is this, leave the land of death. Okay, first of all, we got to survive it. Second thing here is leave it. Now, you may not realize this. In the Civil War, they had POW camps. Of course, you would anticipate they would have POW camps. Here's what's astounding about the Civil War POW camps. 56,000 soldiers died in the POW camps in the Civil War. That's 10% of all casualties. What did most of them die of in the POW camps? Starvation. Americans starving other Americans. There's a long reason why this happened, but it shouldn't have. So here's the thing. The war ends, and a guy on Thursday is in a POW camp, either starving to death or dying of some disease because they way overpopulated his camps. There was no clean water. Then all of a sudden the war ends, and these guys are free. They can go back home. The war's over. There's peace. Now, wouldn't it be ridiculous if the guys in the POW camp said, you know what we ought to do? Let's just fix up the camp. Let's just make the camp nicer. The problem isn't that we need to leave. The problem is we just need to improve the conditions here. What would you say to those guys? You're an idiot. That's what you would say to them. Get out of the camp. Well, this is what happens. You are free because someone died, and now you must leave it. Now he's going to tell the people of Israel, like we said before, eat with your coat on. Eat your lamb standing up with your sandals on and be ready to go when it happens. Look at Exodus 12:23. The Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the doorposts, the Lord's going to pass over and he's not going to strike your house. Then down in verse 29, it finally happens. At midnight, the Lord struck down the firstborn of all in the land of Egypt. Any who didn't have the blood on the doorpost, there was not a house missing the blood that did not have someone dead. And then what happens? Pharaoh calls Moses, or at least sends his representative to Moses, in the middle of the night when this is discovered. And what does he say to him? Get out. Not in a minute, not in a bit, not in the morning, not when you're ready. Get out of Egypt and leave immediately. You are free because someone died, and now in the land of death, in freedom, he is saying, don't live to make yourself comfortable in Egypt. Live to get out. Leave in haste. Now, when hurricanes hit, I don't know if you remember when Hurricane Katrina hit, a lot of people didn't leave, and unfortunately, a lot of people died because they didn't leave New Orleans. They did some studies on why people didn't leave New Orleans and other disaster areas when hurricanes show up. And here in the Pacific Northwest, we say, why do you live on the Gulf Coast? But it's warm when it's cold here, I guess. Here's the thing. Most of us, as we're sitting watching the news and we're going, those, why aren't you leaving? Duh, leave, the hurricane's coming. Well, they discover most people didn't stay because they were unintelligent. Most people stayed because they had to choose between dying there or dying somewhere else. Many didn't have the resources or family to go to. Essentially, they would be homeless for who knows how long. And the thought is, why not stay here and risk it out in my home rather than die under an overpass somewhere else? Because there's nowhere to go. There's no family to go to. Others were afraid their entire livelihood was in their home and they knew it would be destroyed or looters would come in. Still others had no family, had no friends, had no connection, and they did not have the physical ability to leave. Now the police and the military could get to so many houses, they couldn't get to everyone. So the idea here is, listen, death is coming to Egypt, and what needs to happen now is you need to go. You need to leave the land of Egypt and get to somewhere else. You need to eat your Passover lamb in haste. As soon as the Lord gives your opening, you're to walk away. You're going to walk out. You're to burn the Passover lamb and not take the leftovers. The Bible says they went out into the wilderness in haste, some 600,000 men plus their families, with no provisions. They didn't even have dinner packed, other than their unleavened bread that they would eat and cook on the way. Don't have second thoughts. Don't think Egypt is okay. Don't hang out. Don't try to make the best of it. Get out of the land of death. Now they did, but we're going to discover in the coming chapters in Exodus, they're going to regret that decision. They're going to complain to Moses over and over, oh, we wish we would have died in Egypt. Oh, wasn't it great when we were slaves in Egypt and we could eat meat and free fish and free cucumbers? They're going to say, oh, we wish we were back in the land of judgment. And what we're learning here is he's saying, no, you have been made free because someone died. Now live in another place. Egypt is a dying land. Egypt is a prison. The doors are open. Don't stay in the prison with the doors open and seek to fix it up. Egypt doesn't need fixing at that point. What it needs is for you to leave and God's judgment will be on it. Jesus said it this way over in the book of Matthew. As he was preparing to die on the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was with his disciples and he sat and he told his disciples, sit here with me and I'm going to go pray. And so Jesus went up to the Father and he said, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not what I want to do, but instead what you want to do. So Jesus is saying, this is difficult. This freedom that we're buying is going to cause me excruciating pain, both physically and spiritually. He is struggling there, and struggling might not be the right word. He is experiencing in his person the same tensions you and I experience when we say, I want God's will to be done. I want to flee the land of death, and I want to do God's things, God's ways. But at the same time, that's hard. The people of Israel experienced it when they left Egypt. They didn't get very long, and they begin yearning once again for those things of Egypt that brought them comfort and peace. And what God is saying is, you're free because someone died. Jesus took on himself the cup of our suffering. Now that we have been made free because someone has died, this is no longer our home. The place we find ourselves living today is now the land that is under judgment, and there's only one way to escape it, for him to return or for us to join him. This is a land of bondage. Don't be fooled by the blessings of this place. We have a better place that God has promised us to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua.
Pastor Greg Spires has been illustrating with the first Passover that though the cost of freedom in Christ has already been paid, we first must choose to leave the bondage of sin behind. And there's more to come in this study of Exodus chapter 12 next time on Lasting Hope. And we'd like to invite you to listen each week at this same time for more encouragement from God's Word. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. You know, these past few months have caused many of us to be anxious about life and the future. The daily news is filled with chaos and unrest, along with an uncertainty about our health and safety. That's why Pastor Greg has written encouragement in his Lasting Hope newsletter. Every week he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will inspire and reassure you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is the lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. We also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Again, just go to lastinghope.org at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Once again, just go to lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue this message titled, You Are Free Because Someone Died. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.